This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship Show on the BetRivers Network. I am your host, George Ellick, and I'm delighted to be joined by the fit again, Jack Wright. Jack, for those who watched last week, they'd have noticed you're a bit under the weather. Your picks are a bit under the weather as well, but we're blaming that on you coming down with the dreaded COVID.
Yeah, that is exactly the reason why. I fought my way out of my sick bed to come up and serve up a few losses, unfortunately. Other than the tried and tested that come good, there was a few not so good ones, to be honest, but I'm kind of rinse and repeating a bit of all that to give him a second chance this week. So more of that later. But you served up a couple of decent winners yourself.
I think you had three unlucky losers, to be honest. I mean, Reading went 2-0 up early against Bristol City. It was 1-0 early. Andy Carroll scored late. Yeah, that wasn't lucky, I'm afraid. But Sheffield United probably deserves to beat Norwich, going down 2-0, but were by far the better side in the game. And then Tranmere very much so against Harrogate as well. I had an okay weekend. Swansea did beat Cardiff, helped with a ridiculous yellow card where Callum Robinson shoved the ball in Ben Cabango's face. And then Wickham obliged at MK Dons as well. I thought one of my losers was a bit unlucky, but we'll come on to that shortly because I'm going back to the well for one of the teams again. So it wasn't a great week for us, but the good news is that we have managed to stay in plus at the moment, plus 106. The EPL lads, who are they, have overtaken us again. Champions League had a great week, which is good to see. I'm not going to be upset about seeing the Champions League guys going ahead of us after a decent midweek. Hopefully the Europa League guys can climb ahead of us as well before the weekend's fixtures too. But league are absolutely flying at the moment, as are Primeira Liga, Liga NOS in Portugal, and the EPL guys, as I say. So still in the plus. We've got to make sure that we can build our way back up to where we were around about the 4 or 5 mark. And hopefully we can do that starting now.
Yes. Jack, I think we've had some tough weeks, haven't we? And we've kind of been clinging in there, which I think is important. In betting, you're not going to smash it every single week. We'd love to do that, but
sign of a good team,
kind of winning when we're not doing our best, not playing at our best. But that form is just around the corner, and we'll go into overdrive. So confidence is high. And here we go. And starting this weekend, as you rightly say. So you want me to kick off, Dean?
I want you to give up me your first championship pick, and I cannot wait to hear it.
Well, indeed so. And who might they be? Bristol City versus Swansea. Remember those names? Yes, here they are again. So we are giving them another chance. Two of our favourites on the show. We do feature them regularly, and there's good reason for that. They offer decent angles in on more than one avenue, to be fair. And as you rightly said, Swansea come good last week. A fantastic pick from yourself there at plus money. Things you love to see. The opposition player throwing a ball in someone's face when you're on the win. So it certainly helped. But look, Swansea are in top nick at the moment. And said when they control the ball as much as they do, that was always going to be a uphill battle for Cardiff against them. So there we are. Bristol City were, in contrast to that, hugely disappointing in defeat at Reading. I was not happy with that performance at all. And I don't think Nigel Pearson would be happy with it either. We know that Bristol City have an abundance of forward talent. They started with Semenyo and Wells together last weekend. Certainly didn't work as far as the stats or the performance is concerned on the pitch. It'll be interesting to see if that does get rotated and changed, either one or both. Tommy Conway on the bench obviously came on, as well as Andreas Weimann as well. And they've also got Chris Martin there to offer something different. So they've got plenty of options. Nigel Pearson certainly has that up his sleeve that he can rotate as he sees fit to give himself some different avenues. But only 5 shots last week, none on target, and an XG of 0.22, which was abysmal. another thing you won't be happy about is they conceded from yet another set piece. That's 10 goals conceded now. This time it was Mamadou Loom who rose unmarked to the near post and put a fierce header in, which did alert me and came very, very close to actually putting someone you mentioned already forward as far as any time goal scorer is concerned in Ben Cabango. 10 shots from him in his last five games. Overall this season, he's second, believe it or not, behind only Joel Pirow as far as Swansea's most amount of shots he's had across the season's concerned. He's 11-1, slightly bigger actually, to score any time. So that was a tempting. It's not an official one, but certainly one I'm going to be playing personally. So keep that on the radar. And you could also throw Harry Darlan into that mix as well, his fellow centre-back. 3 goals in 9 appearances from him this season. 2 in his last 3 as well, and both at the same price. So both around about 11-1 to score at any time. Keep an eye on that because Bristol City are not good at defending set pieces. We'll see. So as far as Bristol City are concerned, we've said it before, they remain consistently inconsistent. 3rd best as far as goals scored are concerned. 2nd highest as far as goals conceded are concerned. And I think both these sides can kind of score and concede in equal measure. And looking at the league table, that's replicated. Bristol City, 25 goals scored, 26 conceded. Swansea, 22 goals conceded, 22 goals scored. So it's happening at both ends of both these sides. And you look at Bristol City's last 2 games, a 2-0 win followed by a 2-0 loss. Be nice if they can get these goals scored and goals conceded happening in the same game to make this bet easier. Because the bet is over 2.5 goals at -112. Wouldn't be a surprise to see them share a goal fest. Also, wouldn't be surprised to see either one of them go out and win something like a 3-0. Probably more likely to be Russell Martin's side, who are in insanely good form at the moment. 6 wins from the last 7. Seeing his name linked with, I would say jobs, but the jobs aren't available yet, but certainly clubs that would be interested in taking his services. It'd be interesting to see if he was offered the chance to kind of restart again, if he'd go with it. But there we are. We'll see. That's for a later conversation. But for now, over 2.5 goals at -112 is the bet.
Lovely stuff. I've got a bet in the same game. I'm backing Swansea draw no bet, so +0 on the Asian handicap at +123. I am staggered, if I'm honest, the Bristol City are kind of a heavy favourites for this one. I don't understand it at all. When you're looking at Bristol City's recent form, it's been very poor. They, if you go back to the beginning of October, they've played 7 league games and they've won just 2 of those games, one of which was a decent win at West Brom where they won the game 2-0 midweek a couple of weeks ago, and the other one was a home win against Preston North End. But they've lost 4 games: QPR, Millwall, Reading and Birmingham, all beating them, and then a 0-0 draw against Coventry. There's a lot not to like here in my mind about Bristol City at this current moment in time, and I think that Swansea themselves are showing that they are one of the better teams in the league. They're currently 4th, and their form in that same amount of time, that same, since the beginning of October, is 6 games played, 5 wins and a defeat. And that defeat came as a 4-0 defeat at Burnley, which I think we can forgive them for because Burnley kind of found their shooting boots and then went on to score 4 again against Sunderland the week after. I don't see any world here why Bristol City should be favourites to win this game. I think Swansea are the better team with better players and a better manager. Their away form is okay. You know, they've gone to Watford and to West Brom in October and beaten them both. This should be a simpler game than those two. And Bristol City's defensive issues are well known, and they're certainly pretty obvious at the moment. Michael Obafemi will start up front. He had plenty of chances to score in the midweek game against Cardiff. Sorry, the Sunday game against Cardiff. He took one of those. I think Swansea are better when he's playing. Joel Pirow is suspended for this one, which I don't think is a massive issue at all. So I kind of thought long and hard about how to play this one, whether just to take Swansea on the just to back them to win the game. I wouldn't put anyone off that +193, but I'm just going to take that draw insurance and take out the draw and still get plus money at +123 for Swansea draw no bet is the way that I'm looking to play it. But yeah, certainly my strongest bet I think this weekend. What's your second?
Well, I'll say there's a plethora of options in that game, isn't there? And I think we've done a whole show on different bets. We've got to rattle off about 4 or 5 different ones that we could have had in that, but we've settled for 2. So let's look forward to those 2 being the right 2, at least. And I think how they bounce back from that heavy defeat at Burnley has been impressive. You know, 2 good wins from there. And obviously they went behind against Reading after that. and that didn't put them off. They went and, you know, come back from two down to win 3-2. So, yeah, a lot to like about Swansea at the minute. A fantastic bet that, I believe.
Hope so.
So that's the early game on Saturday, isn't it? It's 7 a.m. Eastern time. And another early game on Saturday is West Brom versus Sheffield United. And I'm going with that one as well. That one's at 7:30 Eastern time. And I'm going for both teams to score in this one at minus 141. And we have a new manager at the Hawthorns. Carlos Corberan is back in the Championship, which I'm looking forward to seeing. Be very interesting to see how he goes about his work at West Brom. And it's allowed me to indulge in a couple of my my kind of geeky pastimes in the last 24 hours, watching a bit of behind the scenes training ground footage of him putting these new charges through the paces. So it's been good fun. Obviously, don't get to see an awful lot of anything enlightening, but it's always nice to have a little look to see what they're getting up to and their favourite drills they pull out. But it seems a universally well received appointment by West Brom fans. Obviously massively overachieved at Huddersfield in his last appointment. He was there last season, of course, and just fell short losing in the playoff final. And I think rightly so, he felt that probably his stock was at his highest at that point, decided to make a move and leave the club, knowing that they're likely to lose some of their best players. So obviously then followed that up with only 11 games in charge of Olympiacos before he's moved on. So he had no chance to see what he was going to be offering there, really, to be fair. Had a quick look through the stats from last season to see what stood out a little bit. And I think the main one for me was the fact that Huddersfield scored a record high amount of goals from set pieces, 21 goals from set pieces last season in the Championship. Zorba Thomas was the main man for that, racked up 12 assists in that season. But for him, we can obviously now read Jed Wallace. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of set pieces that they pull out of the bag. And they've certainly got a lot of talent to exploit as far as making the most of those options. So I think the other key indicator would be interesting to see that Lee Nichols was quite a big player for Huddersfield, wasn't it, as well, that season? 18 clean sheets, only Travers at Bournemouth had more than that. Alex Palmer's come in goal, replacing Button, hasn't he, over the last five games, kept a couple of clean sheets as well. So, interesting to see where that dynamic goes there as well. But I think as much as anything, West Brom probably just need a change of luck. And I've got a funny feeling you might be in for one of your irks here, the old new manager bounce. I think it's inevitable that we're going to see that. Second from bottom, West Bromwich Albion, they're not in the right position. We know that. The processes have been fantastic. And I think, obviously, with Corberan coming in now and just being there.
Yeah.
It's gonna come up and it's going to be put down to that new manager bounce that makes you huff and puff so much. But I can't see him not getting a tune out of this West Brom side. He's got so many, the talent he's got at his disposal from what he had last time around at Huddersfield is massively improved on that. So especially in those forward areas, 11 out of 16, both teams to score for West Brom. So the highest percentage in the division. I can't see that changing too much in the short term. Certainly same personnel and similar setup. Blades are obviously now a tough challenge, but six games without a win for them. Four out of those six have seen both teams to score. It's coincided this bad run, of course, with them suddenly conceding lots of goals. They've conceded 16 this season, but 11 of those are in this little dip in form that they've had. Watched them last week, as you said, against Norwich, and Norwich didn't really create anything to score the goals. It was defensive errors again, a charge down goal kick and then a big punt down the middle, which has kind of fallen between the defender and Pukki, and Pukki's finished it off. So they do create lots going forward. And I think both these defenses have got issues in them, which hence why this both teams to score bet looks a solid play to me. 22 shots last week, 8 on target from Sheffield United. More of the same here, I expect. Ndiaye was on the bench and McBurney was on the bench, got the options to bring those in instead of the likes of Billy Sharp. So plenty of firepower and should be an entertaining game. Looking forward to it. But both teams to score is the play at minus 141.
Great stuff, BTTS there. The play in the early game for Jack. My second pick is, I mentioned that I was unlucky with one of my losers last week, and that was Birmingham, who went to Blackburn and were beaten 2-1. I said that the Blackburn couldn't stop scoring worldies every week. Well, this time they just decided to have two shots and score two goals, which is, again, mad. I don't really know what's going on at Blackburn, if I'm honest. It's good whilst it's lasting, but would anyone who's thinking about looking at the league table, seeing Blackburn's position in the league table in third and thinking, well, I'm going to bat them then, I would just urge some caution, possibly. But they do go to Hull. I mean, the fact that Hull are favourites should tell you everything that you need to know about Blackburn at the moment. But anyway, Birmingham, I'm just really impressed with them every week. I think we are seeing an improvement. Again, taking that October form snapshot. They lost two games. Those games were against Blackburn, which I mentioned there, and Borough. They're unfortunate to lose against Borough as well. Two resounding wins against two poorer teams in the division in Bristol City and Hull. And then they've gone to Sheffield United and got a draw, and they've hosted Burnley and got a draw. I really genuinely think that the Birmingham are a top half side at the moment, at the very least. And there was nothing in their performance at Blackburn to show me otherwise. Now, the price here about Birmingham might surprise some of those people who do look at the league table and make their picks from there, because they are significant favourites up against a QPR side who, until Burnley won in midweek, were top of the league. And I think that is fair, and I think it's value as well. I'm taking Birmingham minus 0.25 on the Asian handicap at plus 110, therefore kind of getting half our stake back if it's a draw. You know, QPR are a very good side. There's no denying that whatsoever. I'm impressed with what they're doing, and I think Mick Beale staying is great for them. However, there's been enough in the last few games to make me think that there is going to have to be at some point fairly soon a regression back towards the mean. They haven't been as good since Chris Willock has been out. You know, Sinclair Armstrong is a lively young player who's making, you know, a name for himself at the moment, but there's no way he is as good. And if you take the actual performances in their games, you know, Mick Beale said himself that they were fortunate to beat Wigan when we saw them play last weekend. Wigan had plenty of opportunities to at least get a point from that game. QPR created very little. The 3-0 win over Cardiff was thanks to Cardiff having a man sent off after 12 minutes and a penalty being given. I think we can draw a line through that one. They went to Luton and were well beaten 3-1 in that game. And then the 2-1 win over Reading, where again, they left it incredibly late and they barely created anything in the game itself. So I like QPR. I'm not saying that they're poor, but I think these two sides are a lot closer than the league table suggests. And I think that something is going to have to come undone fairly soon for QPR and Mick Beale. And I think if Birmingham can put in the same level of performances that we've seen over the last few weeks, they should have enough to get home in this one. So they are my pick, minus 0.25 on the Asian at home to QPR. Sorry, Nigel Seeley.
Friday night game, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Friday night, yeah. which is good.
You've gone in early this week. So,
I know. Fingers crossed.
Chomping at the bit.
Yeah, lovely stuff. What's your third and final championship selection?
Okay, stop me if you've heard this movie before, or seen this movie before. It's Stoke Corners, George. You're going to regret the day that you sent me that text, or maybe you're not going to regret it, because it keeps winning, and it keeps winning so comfortably that I've had to go in again. Now, I did have a check. Unfortunately, the line was over 3.5 corners for Stoke this week, which was at minus 165, too short for us to put forward as a bet. So I've added goals to that. But having checked online just before we started recording, the over 4.5 line has now appeared, which is 100% a play. I would have played it as my selected bet if it was available when I submitted. The odds are plus 132 for that, so which I think is an absolutely cracking price. So, as I said, I've added the goals here with over 3.5 corners to give us odds of minus 127 to be the official play. The goal side of things is a bit of a irrelevance, really. It's just to boost the price, a little bit of juice, but it's landed in 31 of the 33 games between these two sides so far this season. As far as the game setup's concerned, Norwich obviously now lost 4 of their last 5, which is a terrible run, and it's no win in 6. Down in 7th, outside the playoffs, looking in, and the pressure is certainly starting to mount on Dean Smith, and especially, of course, with former manager and Wembley hero, playoff-winning manager Alex Neil returning to Carrow Road this weekend. My take is I don't actually think whatever Dean Smith does, I don't think he's going to win the crowd over. I think they're resigned to the fact that they're not bought into him. They're not going to be a fan. And I generally think even if he got Norwich promoted, there would be a relative amount of apathy and even negativity around it. We'll have to see if that is even a possibility. We'll find out. But it reminds me a lot of when Paul Lambert was at Norwich and he was an entertainer and he'd kind of got Norwich playing a certain way that was very much a fan favourite and was replaced with the more pragmatic Chris Hughton that kind of went about his business. And although he kept Norwich in the Premier League, which is some feat, obviously, over recent seasons, he was never liked really by the fans. So I think it's a very similar thing there. very poor against Burnley in midweek. Didn't lay a glove on them, certainly in the first half, and barely did that again in the second, although could see why Burnley have gone through causing us headaches in the past where they've taken the lead and then thrown it away. Did exactly the same thing. Got their noses in front finally in the 83rd minute, I think it was, and then pretty much immediately went and conceded a golden opportunity at the other end. So luckily on this occasion for Burnley, they kept it out and got the win. But the last time Norwich lost three home games in the Championship in a row was in 2006, but that's what they're on for here. Against the Stoke side, who are also in a bit of poor form. Back-to-back defeats without scoring for them against Coventry and Rotherham, albeit both those are at home. So they might well be pleased to be travelling away, especially with a little bit of a toxic Carrow Road as the venue. Undefeated in their last four away games and played some pretty tough games. They played Hull, but QPR, Burnley and Preston away from home and come out unscathed with two wins from those four games as well. So we should expect a tight and cagey game, a fairly nervous one, I think, with how the sides are performing, which will lend itself to corners. Which is what this main bet is about, of course. A quick recap on it. Obviously, you've heard it all before if you've been watching the show over the last couple of weeks. But for those new viewers, 10 games under Alex Neil for Stoke. They've won 67 corners. They've hit four or more in 9 of 10. 5-1s, 6 on 6 occasions, 8, 9 and 12 on 1s as well. Only Burnley away was the time when they haven't hit that number, which they missed. They only had 31% of the ball that day. It won't be the same this time round. Should be a lot tighter, and therefore expect this line to easily be hit by these fantastic Stoke corner winning machine. So there we are. Under 4.5 goals, over 3.5 corners is the official play at -127.
There you go. Under goals. There, the one for Jack. Do you think Smith goes if Norwich are well beat?
It's QPR in midweek. So I think he'd survive another one. And then if we're to get beat by QPR, then I think it would be very hard to keep him on board. Obviously, another couple of games until the World Cup, which would be the obvious time for a change. If two defeats, I could see a change, possibly interim manager to hold the fort until the World Cup, and then someone new in. Yeah.
Do you? Interesting. Possibly. I think Norwich, certainly Mr. Webber likes to give managers more of a chance, doesn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, he's going mountain climbing. He's up Everest during the World Cup, so he's out of office. Yeah.
Interesting. He probably doesn't want to. He doesn't have to think about that stuff during the World Cup. He'd probably have to cancel his trip if he did.
That's why.
I'm going back to goal scorers. Had a week off last week, but I'm back in Keenan Davis to score anytime at +225 for Watford at Wigan. Watford are weird. Under Slaven Bilic, they are either the best team in the division or the worst. They put four past Stoke. They put four past Luton on Sunday, hoping that performance on Sunday is the catalyst for something here. But there are off-field issues at Wigan. It's a weird one where there's kind of talk the players haven't been paid, talk that they now have been paid, but there were a lot of disgruntled players who were considering their future. Liam Richardson, their manager, was then given a new contract, which was a bit of a show of, I don't know, like just trying to show people that things are maybe okay. But I do wonder if coming into this, there might be some issues in the camp at Wigan. And certainly we've seen a couple of games recently, especially the defeat against Hull, where things haven't quite been as good as they had been previously. And I'm basically looking here at thinking, right, which team in the Championship are the most likely to score over two or three goals? Probably Watford. And Keenan Davis will be playing up front through the middle. He scored a magnificent goal last weekend as well. He is a player win against Luton, that kind of weird scorpion kick kind of thing. He's their main goal threat. He's their main striker. And if this does turn into a big score, I am eminently confident that it will be Davis who will be the main goal threat. So it's not quite a bigger price as some of the winners we've had in the past in Wells and Fleming and stuff. But I do think this is the way to play it. You know, you often get kind of the likes of Tame Pukki and other players like this, when you've got a team who could score a few, they're often, you know, only just about plus money. And so I do think the +225 is fair value about Keenan to score there. Anything to add before I run through the other games over the weekend?
Not in the Championship, I don't think. No, I think we'll cover that and box that off pretty well.
Great stuff. So we've got West Brom hosting Sheffield United. West Brom plus 120, Blades plus 205. Again, those who look at the league table will be pretty flummoxed by that. But Blades not in the best form at the moment, especially away from home, but nor are West Brom. Oh, you mentioned that with Corbrand. You've already done that one already. Yeah, there you go. I'll give my own thoughts on it anyway.
It was good added content.
We've got Luton, who are minus 121, hosting Sunderland at plus 295. Sunderland desperate for a striker at some point. Hull hosting Blackburn. As I mentioned, I'd be wary of Blackburn. Hull plus 148. Taught that Liam Rossini could be appointed manager there fairly soon. Blackburn plus 170. Huddersfield hosting Millwall. Huddersfield plus 205. Millwall plus 125. Preston hosting Borough. Preston plus 163. Borough plus 155. Coventry minus money, minus 114 at home to Blackpool, who are plus 270. The Burnley boys, top of the league for our futures bet. Hopefully they can get a win at home to Reading, who are plus 410. Burnley heavily odds on, minus one.
More than one reason.
86. No, absolutely not. What are you trying to imply? Cardiff minus 121, odds on. Wow, at home to Rotherham at plus 295. So those are the weekend games. We are going to be back next week for a midweek show, because there's a midweek slate of fixtures in the Championship. But on to League One and League Two, and you have a League One bet for us.
I do, yeah, and it's another rerun. It's Plymouth versus Exeter, the Devon Derby. Delightful,
lovely, yes,
yeah.
Heated Derby, this one.
Sorry.
Heated derby, this one. They don't like each other.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, this will be it. It's Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. So that doesn't follow your rules, does it?
No.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Strange, that.
It is. Anyway, move on. So, yeah, again, this is another one where the price has moved. Minus 107 when I submitted my selection today. Checked just before recording and drifted out. Plus money, plus 108 Plymouth, which I think is an outstanding price. And so I'm going to have to play it. I've kind of looked around it, looked at other options, and I've come back to this one as well. So it's going to be recorded at minus 107, obviously, because that's what we put it forward as. Ipswich or Sheffield Wednesday are hosting Exeter here, and I think we're looking at seriously odds-on favourites. But, you know, we're looking at this Plymouth side. They won again in midweek, come from behind against Shrewsbury to win 2-1. That's now 8 wins from 8 games in the in League One at home. 15 goals scored, 3 goals conceded. And I say, I was just looking at ways as to why we were getting this good price still. And we had a conversation at the weekend, didn't we? Midweek, why Plymouth again were a great price against Shrewsbury. For this one, there's a possible explanation in that Finn Azaz has picked up an injury. He's a key player for them. They have done without him this season already when he was on international duty, but he's a miss. There's no getting away from it. So that possibly could have an impact. But I think that the main one possibly is the one that you put forward for me in midweek, and as far as their open play XG is concerned.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. I haven't got the updated stats since midweek, but I think it was something like they had scored 24 goals in open play this season, Plymouth, from expected goals of 14. I'm a big Plymouth believer, but I think it's fair to say that at some point that has to regress, that they cannot continue to score worldies. I would be inconsistent if I was criticising Blackburn the whole time and not doing the same for Argyle. So, yeah, some concerns, although they haven't actually scored from a set piece yet. So that's also weird.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I talked myself out of that one all round into this bet by basically saying that although they've scored plenty of goals, they've scored plenty enough goals to win games, but obviously their XG is actually
I've got it here. According to Opta Analyst, it's 28 goals from 13 expected.
Wow, that is very, very big.
That is ridiculous. I mean, in fairness, Ipswich are 24 from 16.4. So yeah.
Yeah, I think with their processes and with the defence that they've got, they're not needing to score as many as they've scored loads more. Even if they score their XG, they would still win the vast majority of their games. So I think that's the one where I had that conversation with myself saying, well, like, if that is the case and they did revert to that, you know, they've only conceded 3 at home. They've got such strong processes that they will still win those games. They don't need to win 2, 3 or 4. they just need to win 1-0 or 2-1, and that's enough, especially like for this bet. It's a simple straight-up win bet. So I'm happy to go with it. Look, Exeter are having an excellent season. I think we've got to say take our hats off there. Newly promoted side. They're just outside the playoff places at the moment. New manager Gary Caldwell's come in, got a decent point away at Derby in his first game in charge. So it'll be interesting to see. I think realistically, obviously, it's very early days in that reign at this moment in time. Once he gets his feet under the table, once he gets his own processes and his own way of playing, how that will transform Exeter. Will it see them fall backwards, or will it see them continue to maintain the high levels as they're showing at the moment? So as it stands right now, I'm going to take Plymouth on a win, especially at plus money, which you can get on board with now. But even on our recorded price of minus 107, I think that's still a nice price for the league leaders on Monday night.
Great stuff. My pick is in League Two. It is Walsall to beat Rochdale. This is at minus 106. Walsall are in really good form. They beat Harrogate very comfortably in midweek, 3-1. Their general form over the course of the last month or so has been very impressive. Rochdale have improved since appointing Jim Bentley as manager, but they've had a couple of quite noisy results in my mind. They've had three games basically where they've gone ahead in them, and then they've really looked to shut up shop. They won two of those games, but it wasn't the case where they stopped the opposition from creating chances. They went ahead early. They didn't have another shot in the game, and then the opposition, you know, there was an onslaught, but they weren't able to get the ball in the back of the net. And it followed a similar story against Tranmere in midweek where they went ahead. Tranmere equalised very early on, and Tranmere had loads of opportunities in the second half to win the game and failed to do it. So, whilst Bentley has improved Rochdale, and certainly the performance, you know, the results are much, much better, I'm not really buying it yet. And I think Walsall, you know, their recent form has pushed them up into 13th place. I think they're going to end up being a playoff challenger. Michael Flynn is certainly getting a good tune out of this group of players. And Danny Johnson, they've got a very good goal scorer at the level. Tom Knowles is a player that I like a lot as well. So this is just one of those classic, very simple cases of, I think Walsall are much better than Rochdale, and I think that they will dominate the game and should win it as well. So at minus 106, it looks like value to me. Those are our picks.
That's it. Yeah. The one I was going to actually quickly say about, I don't know if you've got the Bet Rivers price available on League Two. League Two was obviously your selection this week. So the one I had earmarked was not an outlandish pick. It's Stevenage away at Colchester.
Plus 110.
Plus money again for that was one that certainly caught my eye.
Yeah, so. For sure. It was a good win for Stevenage in midweek. It wasn't one of their better performances. But I do agree. I mean, Colchester are not having a good time of it at the moment at all. So no. I certainly wouldn't put you off that at plus money.
Hartlepool got?
You're just laying Hartlepool, are you? Wherever you can.
Yeah, no.
Grimsby at home.
Grimsby
plus 125. Yeah,
that was one that another one that I thought was a decent price, given Hartlepool's current form, and Grimsby are doing fairly well. And I couldn't remember who it was I was going to back to Hartlepool. I just remembered it was against Hartlepool.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. A few extras. I wouldn't put anyone backing Bolton to beat Milo Oxford as well on Saturday. Plenty of players suspended and injured, so we'll see. But anyway, we digress. We could do this all day. Let's share our actual picks this week, where we are. Should be able to. It looks like I can only share the league table, which is a bit of a blow. That is a shame. So we will have to try and do that again. If not, I'm going to find another way of doing it. Bizarre. Okay. Well, that's a bit of a blow. So I'm afraid we can only show the league table, which is a shame. And we can't go back and record this again. I'm going to try it one more time. Because it feels like a bit of a shame not to be able to show. The guys work so hard on doing the graphic that it just seems kind of mad that we then can't find a way to share it.
Follow at Because We Win on Twitter, and we'll make sure that this graphic won't go to waste. Oh, there it is. Look.
Finally. Goodness gracious me. Right. There you have our selections. Sorry about that for the technical glitch.
We'll edit that out.
You can see it. Yeah. I don't think we will. Jack's picks there. Over 2.5 goals in Bristol City, Swansea, BTTS and Baggies against Blades. Over 3.5 Stoke corners and under 4.5 goals in the Norwich Stoke game.
No, the Albion is in West Bromwich Albion.
Yes. Are you going to the Norwich game?
I am due to go, yes.
There you go. And Plymouth Argyle are to beat Exeter at -107, although that is a bigger price now. I think the lads should pay you out the prices. It's unfair. We have to put our picks in so early. I've gone for Swansea, draw no bet at Bristol City, Birmingham -0.25 against QPR, Keenan Davis score any time for Watford at Wigan, and Walsall to Rochdale at -106. There Lovely. We have it. That is it. Game over. Game
Let's
over.
Build that profit. It's time to kick on. Oh, All final time. Whistle.
We are back, though, on Monday, aren't we? So I'll speak to you then ahead of a midweek slate. Thank you very much to Jack for his insight and thoughts. Do go and check out the app Because We Win Twitter account where you can find all the different sports handicappers and their thoughts and all the different shows up there too, and interact with them there as well. You can see all the winners as they go in, and check out the BetRivers site for all of your betting needs, and do go and subscribe to the BetRivers YouTube channel, where you can find all the different shows across all sports and leagues up there as well. And you can find this as a podcast as well. Hopefully we've had a winning week. Fingers crossed, mate. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us. Have a great weekend, and please ensure that you're gambling responsibly.